to be there when the Savior spoke the great command, and to witness in the wonder of his wonder-working hands.
No miracle has caught my eye or caused my heart to see, but the faith I now can realize,
there's a miracle in me I have never or the blind made to see. I have never watched him raise the dead, but I know when he lifted me, there's a wonder right before my eyes, close enough to see. In my heart is where this wonder lies, there's a miracle in me.
If we have a faith that's measured by the smallest mustard seed, our mountains will be mastered by the master of our needs.
When we have a childlike trust, he said, he'd do the greatest things to heal the sick and to raise the dead
and be a miracle in me. I have never seen the thousands fed or the blind made to see. I have never watched him raise the dead, but I know when he lifted me, there's a wonder right before. A miracle in me. There's a wonder right before my eyes, close enough to see. In my heart is where this wonder lies. There's a
could go on tour, amen. Oh, what a good song. And I know some of y'all, you could feel it. I could see it on your faces. God did some great stuff through songs like that. This is a very pleasurable time for me in the church. We get to dismiss our children into the children's church. Y'all give them a round of applause. Tell them thank you for being here. Bye, guys. Appreciate y'all being here. We'll let them be. We're going to continue our series of the book of Philippians. If you would like to turn there, you are more than welcome to do so. I have a... this message. The text... Normally, I attach texts... to sermons I've heard, commentaries I've read, things that have challenged me, things that have bettered me, for lack of a better word, ones that have honed me to make me who I am. But the text isn't necessarily something that has challenged me in today's text. But the sermon and what he talks about are things that I think at the minute that I accepted Christ, I began to view who I was differently. I don't know how many of you have ever had that position where it's almost when you transition from a child to an adult, where you recognize some things that you had thought were real, and then things changed, and you recognized reality for what it was. And I believe that inside of this text, I can preach that in a spiritual sense, where we as a children in our own spirits, and we think we know who we are, and we think we know things until God points a finger and shows us the reality of who we are in our spirit, where we grow from a child in the faith to a faithful servant of Christ. I like this sermon. I preach this sermon to myself, and I'm going to use many verses that I use on my own to chisel me, to help me, to make me the Christian I know that I'm supposed to be. In Philippians, you will, chapter 1, this will be the last few verses in Philippians. If you would, please stand. We're going to read these five verses together. Philippians chapter 1, verses 25 to verse 30. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 starts this. He says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of your joy of faith. And that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by the coming to you again." We talked about these verses last week, how that was his focus, that our faith needs to bring us joy. And then from verse 27 to verse 30, he says, "Only let your conversation or your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified of your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." Today I want to talk about growing in the faith. Growing in the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your words and the holy word itself. I thank you for all those who have come and wanted to desire to be here today. Lord, we ask your words to sink into the soil of our hearts. And may it produce something of good nature for you and for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm going to start off with a phrase that when I heard this in my beginning walks as a Christian, it changed a lot of how I viewed myself, and I wanted to see you do the same in you. Character is who we are when the doors are shut. How many of you have ever heard something similar to that? Either the door is shut or the light is off. And the idea of Christian character, let me put it like this, especially in view of where I grew up. You see, I was told to me that we grew up in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. How many of y'all, you take that title as your own? This is the belt buckle, the very center of the Bible Belt. We grew up with morals. We grew up with respecting our elders. We grew up with, if somebody tells you to do something, you do it. And the whole aspect was obedience, obedience, obedience. And to the point where it became grievous to some people, and they would despite all these things. And there's something that is detached from this, and that is, how many of you know you can be obedient and not want to be obedient?
You can go to church and not be a part of church. You can have these things and you can put on the front and you can be these things and not truly understand what it means to have it. You see, the difference in that is character. Be it as it may, I'm just really a Southern boy. You know, I'm very simple-minded in a lot of things, and I'm going to take people at face value. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me to believeth all things, so I believe you when you come to church and you act holy. I believe you. I think you are. Matter of fact, I think that you have a great relationship with God because I've never once seen you at an altar. I've never once seen you whine or complain. I think that you're the one that is high and lifted up, that I should be coming to you. That's the way I view things. Because I believe by your character and who you are, and that's how many people view people who are bookended. I want y'all to see that. Because the culture in which I was raised, which I imagine most of y'all were raised in as well, is that, hey, you keep it together. Let no one see you crying. Anybody else? Either I'm stepping on family traditions here or y'all are not picking up when I'm throwing. We have this idea that we have to be put together. We have to be adultish. We have to be the ones that have everything figured out. And our character veiled by how culture demands that we should act. And then we go home, and behind closed doors, we weep. And we cry, and we're brokenhearted, and we're empty. And we dare not show anybody that it feels as if Jesus is far away from us. We dare not share anybody that sermon convicted me and that I need to change because I need to put on this front that I am perfect. Because that church will accept me as long as I'm holy. Listen, in case it wasn't news to you, I'm going to accept you whether you're holy or you're broken. Amen. I like that. That's a great place to amen. Thank you so much. We have this idea that character plays a very important part in our walks, in our growth. And I don't want us to veil over our character just for the sake of being social. Look at what he says in here in verse 27. He says, let your lifestyle, your conversation. Every time you see the word conversation in Scripture, it's not talking about verbiage. It's talking about how we act inside and outside, who we are. Let that conversation be everything that is inside is coming out. He says, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I would hear of your affairs. How many of y'all have heard this saying? He says, when the cat's away. See, y'all are good Southern people. Y'all know. The idea is, hey, when nobody's looking, I can be myself. And Paul is saying, I know that people say that, but I want you to know whether I'm there or I'm not there, I want to hear what the culture around you is saying about you. I want it to be good. I want you to be lifted up in the name of Christ. I want them to associate you with what Jesus is doing. Now listen, we could spiritualize that whole phrase and he says, when the preacher's away, I can do what I want. When the family is not overlooking me, I can do what I want. When my neighbors aren't watching, I'll do what I want. Let me take it even a step further. When my spouse is in another room, I can do what I want. When my boss is not in the same room as I can do what I want. And we have this mindset that we are the ones that are in control and we can do what we want. And that is the furthest thing for church, I mean, for church members especially. But people who follow after Christ, we should have this character about us that who we are in front of our spouses and in front of our bosses, in front of our neighbors, and in front of our church members, and in front of our preacher. We should be that everywhere else. Amen. Y'all are amen and on top. And listen, three more of good amens and y'all can go home. Amen. That was not the place to say amen. Now you got to do it four times. Y'all are too funny. I know what's important to y'all. Y'all want to get to McDonald's.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about what he brings out, and we'll talk about this next week. Paul specifies about this whole character thing. He says, I want you to be who you are on the outside as well as on the inside, but he brings out one particular. He says, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I think that's a pretty interesting thing to bring up. He's talking to a church that is a great church. It's a wonderful church. And he's saying, listen, he says, I don't want this to be something where we're only looking on the outside. And we know that you're good people. And we know that you do good things. But I want it to be an inside thing and not just an outside thing. How many of y'all know that we can focus more on the outside than focusing on the inside? And I want to be a pastor who focuses on the inside and changes lives. Right outside of being the one that focuses mainly on the outside and looks pretty. I want us to be a church that changes people. I want to see the drug addicts overcome their addictions. I want to see the sinners overcome their sins. I want to see the marriages that are crumbling be reunited. I want to see the parents who are neglecting their kids embrace them and love them and nurture them in the ways of the Lord. I want people to abandon this world in favor for something that is glorious, something that is better, something that is more holy. Amen. And not because I tell them to, but because I want them to. Y'all get the difference? And Paul is saying this. He says, one of the evidences we know that it's going to be an inside thing and not an outside thing is that once you're doing the inside thing the way that it's supposed to, you will find other people who want to do this as well. He says, and you will find a unity. You will find a, bear with me, church who believes likewise. You will provide these other people who want to do what you want to do because God is moving in such a direction. Maybe it's just me. I haven't even picked up my sermon yet. And I don't even think that's my sermon. Oh, well, I've lost it. Oh, there it is. Oh. Good thing I memorized this. He says, in this section, he says, I want you to be together. That should be a key focal point of who we are. When I talk about character and how God deals with us behind closed doors, that's the truest you. That's the you that I'm talking to. I'm not talking to you on a pew right now. I want to talk to you, the one that when you lock the doors at night and you get down and pray and you get real with God, that's the person that I'm talking to. The real one. Not the one that's veiled under the social norms of the Southern people, but the one who really, truthfully needs a moving from God. Look at these few verses. In Matthew, in chapter 4, verse 22, it says, and they immediately, what on earth? 4:22. Oh, it's supposed to be Mark. I'm sorry. I have it in my notes. I had the wrong one up there. Mark 4:22. Y'all have to forgive me on this one. It says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret, but that is that it should come abroad. Who you are in private, God knows. Amen. That's another good one. So now you're down to three. He says that who you are in secret and all the stuff that you are in secret, that's the stuff that God looks at and he knows and he wants that. He desires that connection. And the whole purpose of God knowing that, meaning this, like, listen, you can lock the doors, but you can't lock God out. You can shut off the lights, but you can't blind him to the things that are going on. You can be alone, but I'm telling you that God is still there. You can say, well, if I think it, then I haven't sinned. And that's true. You have not sinned. But God knows. This is what really got me when I told you that it life changed me when I heard this phrase about who you are in closed doors was something that is who you are in real life. And I remember sitting. I had just been saved. And I remember hearing that phrase and thinking, man, I'm an awful wretch. because I was raised to be respectful, and I was. I was raised to be kind, and I tried. I was raised and brought up in an area where everything that you had to do was done under this social veil, and I put that veil on really nice. But my thoughts were deceiving to my actions. Because I could be nice and not mean it. I could tell somebody I was sorry and still hold a grudge. Ooh, it got real thick, real quick. I could say something and not mean it as a heart, because who I was in private, who I was in my mind, was something different. And here's the thing, God knows who I am in my mind and behind closed doors. Hopefully I didn't mess this one up. Numbers chapter 32. Let me double check. I got it. Verse 20 and verse 23. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, and he was talking about going and fighting for a war. He says, if you will be honorable and do the things that you were wanting to do and said you were going to do, if ye will go armed before the Lord in war and will go all of your armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out the enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the land, and afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be a possession before the Lord. Now, he was talking to the half-tribes that had stayed out, and they didn't want to be a part of the promised land. They wanted to stay on the other side. He says, listen, that's fine and good, but when it comes time to fight, you need to fight. If you're going to take the breadcrumbs off the table, that's fine if that's all you want. But God's got a lot more in store for you. But here's the thing, your brothers and your sisters and your family and this nation depends upon you fighting. And then he gets to this verse. He says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Here's the thing, church, and I love this. The ramifications and understanding of this verse helps us clarify what it means to us as an individual. You have this tribe that sits on the outskirts of town. There is no authority. There's nobody looking at them. The masses that are there are probably going to go just because it's family, just because it was their vow. But you can have somebody who's turned of age during this time, right before they go, and they're like, yeah, but I don't want to go. You can say, hey, I'm going to go hunting and leave for a couple days. And then miss the chip to go fight. You can make an excuse. Oh, I got a cramp. I can't march that far. Nobody's going to think otherwise. But here's the thing. Your sin will find you out. I'm going to say this, and listen, and I know this is what I told you this, that the text itself is an amazing text, but it's not what strengthens me. It's these things that I've been taught through this text, and I want to show you this one. And it's one that really, really speaks home to me. How many of y'all said this? You come to church, you look at your brother or your sister, you go in for a hug. How you been? How's your week been? And they say, everything's fine. Everything's great. But they're holding back, aren't they? Some of y'all know it's you. And I can't fight for you. I can't go to arms with you because I don't know there's a war going on. And in so doing, we have weakened ourselves and our community. And in so doing,